The book of Luke, chapter 5. I want to read verses 1 through 11 this morning. I want to deal with something that's been a problem of mine all of my life. And I want to share some things I've learned and relearned and relearned and have to relearn it again, I'm sure. But let's look here. Chapter 5, verse number 1 says, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were mending or washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." So, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you. We have the privilege to have in our hands this wonderful book called the Bible. Lord, we know that it is the authority for our lives, and we know that we can rest so assured upon its truth. Lord, we pray you help us discover its truth. We pray that you'd help us to understand it. We pray that it might enter in our soul. We might make practical use of it. For you have said that we ought not be hearers only, but doers of your word. So, Lord, teach us this morning. And teach us not only facts, but how to do them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I have dealt with all of my life a fear of failure. And anything that I have ever sought to do, I held back because I was afraid I would fail. There have been things that I know that I haven't even tried because I've been afraid I would fail. I want to find out something this morning. How many say, Preacher, I understand what you're talking about? Okay. Not everybody's built that way, but I sure am. And I tell you what it keeps me from doing. It keeps me from trying so often. I believe perhaps that is a tool of Satan to keep me from trying. I've heard it said that if you don't shoot for something, that's what you'll hit. There's nothing. And we're not going to get anywhere unless we try to do it. And so you and I, we need to learn to not be afraid to launch out into the deep and to go for whatever it is that God lays before us. So often we're afraid to try, and we hold back. Well, I look at a man called Peter. Peter's an unusual character in the Word of God. He became the leader of the apostles. How is it he became that? Why was he the leader? Was he the kind of person that was afraid to try something? Was he afraid to fail? Well, we look here and we see a tremendous story. We find a veteran fisherman that had been out all night long fishing, and we find that they had caught nothing. The Lord Jesus comes and he gets in their boat and launches it out just a little ways, and he sets down and teaches people from it. By the way, something interesting to do, and something I've been doing recently, is to study the teaching styles of the Lord. And so some morning if you walk in, there's a boat sitting up here and I'm sitting down, you're supposed to stand up and listen. I'll guarantee you some of you will not go to sleep if you're standing up. Amen? Yeah. And while Bill's eating that snack, are you eating that, Bill? No, he put it away. Jeff, are you playing jacks and whatever else they put in that little thing? But, I know it's a band-aid in case you hurt yourself while you're doing that. But nonetheless, I got to find out who did this to you guys. But nonetheless, the Lord Jesus had some unusual things. He sought to reach people. And so now we're going to find that he's seeking to do something with Peter. And he says, launch out into the deep. Here's a veteran fisherman out all night. And here comes a man that says, let's go fishing. He doesn't know him. He doesn't know his background. And yet, he is willing to go out. He's willing to do it. He's willing to try. He was willing to let Jesus tell him where the fish are at. Greg, you're a pretty good fisherman, aren't you? Who in here likes to fish? Greg does, Jeff, some of you guys. All right. How many of you figure yourself to be pretty good fishermen? I mean, you catch fish. My idea of fishing is throwing the line in the water when I remember to take it. There's a little joke there. I went fishing once without my fishing line. I did have something to set on the bank. But my idea of fishing is throw a little thing out there, hope nothing bites, because if it bites, I'm going to have to reel it in. And if I catch them, it's pretty good. I'm going to have to clean that thing and you know, all the stuff that goes with that. And so for me to come home empty-handed is not really a bad deal. Okay? That's not the way you're supposed to fish. But you catch fish, don't you, Greg? You catch fish, Jeff? Okay. I saw some other hands. You guys catch fish? LaDonna, did I see your hand up? Oh, no. Who? Bill? You catch fish, Bill? Oh, yeah. Okay. And Mary, you like to fish, don't you? Do you catch fish? Do you put on your own worms? Really? And when you catch the fish, do you take it off? His job. Here's a guide. Jesus was the guide. And he says, I want you to launch out here. I just find this a very fascinating story that Peter is willing to allow a stranger, basically, to him, to tell him where to go fish at. But he didn't catch anything. He's willing to try anything. He's willing to go out there and maybe make a fool of himself. But he's willing to try. And so often in the ministry that God has given us, we are afraid to try. Because we're afraid of failure. We're afraid that it won't work out good. We're afraid that we'll fall flat on our faces. And the fear of failure has probably caused so much not to be accomplished. Kept us from even trying because of it. And we need to understand something. We're not going to get anywhere if we don't try. And so the Lord may be calling us to do something, want us to try something, and we're afraid to do it. I've been really, I'm going to take some time with our teachers today and our Sunday school teachers and trying to get them to be willing to try something just a little bit more to reach into the hearts and the minds of our young people. Listen, I didn't realize this. I thought for years that if a teacher did a craft, it was just a time filler. I thought, why are we doing this? Why are we wasting money on craft? But I'm having my teachers who are doing this tell me, hey, we take our craft and we make it a part of our lesson and helps them to remember that. I'm not sure what I can do with Jax, Jeff. I'm going to figure this out before we're done. And it doesn't matter to Bill whether I figure out how food has anything to do with this or not. You just eat it. But seriously, how to do that kind of thing. So, and some are a little skeptical. Some are a little afraid to try. And those things are they're a little bit different. I'm that kind of person, afraid to try it. Last week I did something on the screen up there. Never done that in my life, you know, and took that little, what is that, iPad or pod or whatever those things are. And I kind of liked that. I found that little tool I can do all kinds of things with. And this morning, not during Sunday school, but in the morning service, I'm going to use hula hoops. I need two volunteers. But seriously, we're going to, you know, I'm not going to make you do any hulas, okay? I have another purpose in it. But seriously, those kinds of things to help us. And so I've been trying to say, hey, try it. Try it. And I've been admonished, try it. Don't be afraid. And so many things we're afraid to do. And God wants us to launch out into the deep. Trying to get a principle here for us to understand. When Jesus came to him and told him to do that, he said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. But notice verse 5, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. I'm the veteran here. I'm the one that knows how to fish. That'd be like me going with Greg and saying, Greg, this is not a good spot. We ought to go over there. I haven't the foggiest idea what's a good spot. A good spot to fish to me is one where I can kind of halfway lay down and watch whatever's out there and hope it doesn't bite. And just soak up the sun and enjoy the peace and the quiet. And a reel that's got that little thing on it, you know, go, hee. Why do you want that alarm clock going off? Seriously, I do like to catch fish. But nonetheless, I'm not a great fisherman. But he's saying, go out and to the deep. He says, launch out into the deep. And he says, okay, I will. Because Peter, at this point, had one thing on his mind. That is fish. He's a fisherman. He was willing to try whatever he could do to catch them. At the end of this, we find that he says to us that he wants to make them fishers of men. That is what God wants us to do. And we realize in order to catch men, we're going to have to do different things to reach them. Have you ever stopped and looked at John chapter 3 and John chapter 4? Both of them, we find the Lord Jesus Christ telling people how to get saved. In John chapter 3, it's Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. And Jesus uses some words there and some thoughts and some teachings there that he does not use in the next chapter with the woman at the well. It's altogether different. His means and method and his recall of scriptures is completely different with both of them. And so God wants us to be willing to seek men where they're at and not always use the same thing. Now, the gospel doesn't change. Please don't misunderstand me. But the way we reach people can change. The woman at the well, that's interesting because here's a Samaritan, here's a Jew, and they don't have dealings with one another. And how does he get her attention? Do you ever think about this? He says, would you do me a favor? Not in those words, but says, give me a drink. He then takes that and makes that drink and the getting of that illustrative to her to help her to understand. And they get to her sin and her need of a Savior. He handles her altogether different than he does Nicodemus. To Nicodemus, this proud Jew, this man who thinks that because of his heritage he has heaven all set, he says, no, 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 you need to be born again. Your first birth isn't worth a thing. Now consider that. So the Lord, he wants us to understand that kind of thing. Now, we ought to have in our mindset one thing. As far as we're concerned as Christians, when it comes to this matter, and that is to catch fish. To catch fish. And by that I mean to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had a single mindset. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gained. It was to seek to do the will of God and to reach out unto others. And far too often, we as God's people, we have a double mind. What does James say about a double-minded person? He's unstable in all these ways. Interesting thought as we put it together. The Lord Jesus Christ had a single mind. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And we read the context there. It was a humble mind that came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And so you and I ought to have that kind of a single mind. When we have a single mind, when our intent is upon the Lord, our intent is upon doing His will and to reach out to this world, it's amazing how no longer are we so daunted by the fear of failure, because the fear of failure is really a pride problem. It's a problem you and I deal with. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians on another area, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It is to head forward. To head forward. And if we fall down, we ought to remember the comment in the Proverbs where it says, "For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Doesn't say they get up. I heard a message years ago. I've not forgotten it. The two words that were the title and strung all throughout the message. I preached something similar myself a few years back. So what? So what? So often we allow failures to take us down. So often we allow this or that to stop us. And we need to... We failed? Yes. What do? We ask God to forgive us. We get up and go again. Don't allow that thing to hold us down. Has anybody ever told you to loosen up? What's the problem? We've got our minds on ourselves too much. We're worried about what people might think of us. Now listen, we do have a testimony. Do not misunderstand this. But so often in our pride, we are afraid to launch out into the deep. And afraid to do some things for the Lord. And we need to get our minds off of ourselves and upon the prize. Our minds off of what, you know, people think of us, but what they think of Christ. And project Him. I think sometimes we need to learn how to laugh at ourselves. I got to ask you this. Have you ever just looked in the mirror? I mean, looked intently and looked right in your own eyes and see yourself looking back at you? It's scary. Have you ever looked in the mirror and just broke out into laughter? You've got to be kidding. People got to look at that. Do it first thing in the morning. It's even more hilarious. Amen. We need to learn how to laugh at ourselves. I don't mean don't take life seriously. But we allow too much to stop us because of our pride. Because we're afraid, well, if I do that, people think I'm weird. And I'll tell you, sometimes things cross my mind in the pulpit that I ought to maybe do, and I don't. But it might actually be that which makes the point a little better, because people might think I'm weird. I don't know if I could do it, but one time I even moonwalked. I don't know why I did that. But nobody forgot it. I think I'm losing it this morning. I'm trying to get a point across. We need to what? Let God use us and not be afraid of what folks might say. That doesn't mean we're going to do something wrong. We understand that. It's allowing God to lead us and to follow that. And we're so afraid. The Lord was trying to lead him in a direction, and Peter was willing to follow. I think perhaps it's the reason that he became the leader amongst the disciples. He was impetuous. I mean, Peter stuck his foot in his mouth many times. I mean, who was the guy who denied the Lord three times? But who was the guy who preached on the day of Pentecost? Same fellow, wasn't it? Let's think about these failures, what they can do for us. Verse number 5, he says, "Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." Verse 6 says, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." Do you realize that our so-called failures can lead us to fortune? Seriously. Things that happened that we think, man, we just goofed it up, but it was through that goof up that actually became a strong point in our life. I wonder how many dishes have been invented for these cooking shows that were accidents. Somebody dumped the wrong ingredients in and it tasted good. Seriously. But take that into so many realms of life. And we find that oftentimes what might be a failure can lead to fortune. Dear old eyes, the average businessman will go belly up at least one time in his lifetime. At least once. If I remember the statistics right, it was somewhere around 1.5 times. I mean, we're talking at the point of not just belly up, we're talking he is in bankruptcy. I mean, things are bad. But he's willing to try again. And you and I as God's people, we may fail once, but we should not let it stop us from trying again. So I talked to the guy at work about the Lord Jesus and he laughed at me. I'm not going to do it anymore because the next guy might laugh at me. No, the next guy might be the one who is going to listen. But we're afraid to try because one time we were laughed at. Or afraid that the next time if we, you know, bring it up, we might be laughed at. And we need to, how can I just say it, get over that. And so we find this man was willing to do so. And he was astonished at what God did for him. Turn with me to look at Psalm chapter number 40. Book of Psalm. Let me suggest something else to you about failure. Chapter number 40. He says in verse 11, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. For they are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me." I want you to notice, because of his failure, the psalmist prayed. Failure can lead us to prayer. Matter of fact, it ought to lead us to prayer. It ought to help us to see that we are not able and we need His help. It is the need of our lives to seek after Him. And many, many times in our lives, we're not going to come to this point of prayer until we have failed enough to realize, I can't do it myself. When we started the church many years ago, this is back in the days that we were taught to just do all kinds of gimmicks. I mean, this was in the days when, you know, if you get so many on your bus, I'll swallow a goldfish. All sorts of things that we tried. And people were willing to, you know, trying to reach people, especially kids, for the Lord. And we did it. Everything I tried in those early days failed. I remember the one that was most disconcerting to me is I bought a brand new, really nice Scofield Reference Bible. It was what I used all the time at that time, and I bought a nice one. Nice leather cover, good paper in it. By the way, that's what makes the price of a Bible, if you're interested, is the quality of the paper and the quality of the cover. And that juggles it. But nonetheless, I bought a nice one. This is nearly 40 years ago. It cost somewhere around $25-$30. Today, that would be an $80 or $100 Bible. Maybe more. And I got it, and I said to the folks, whoever brings the most people, this would be your Bible. And after about 4 or 5 weeks, nobody brought anybody. And I was talking to some of the adults. Didn't have very many, but this is what I heard. We'll let the kids win it. I brought it for the adults. We'll let the kids win it. It was one of the biggest failures we ever had. I did have a nice new Bible I could use for a while, because nobody wanted it. But it was one of those things over and over and over. Failure, failure, failure. What did it make me do? Go to the Lord and realize, you know, my job is to simply what? Give the gospel, do the best I can, let God do the increase. And those things taught me so much. And by the way, I'm not condemning those things. Next week we're going to swallow goldfish if you bring enough people. Newly born. No, I'm not serious. But seriously though, we need to understand failure can lead us to some things. And when we fail, what are we supposed to do? We're to take it to the Lord and seek His forgiveness, amen? But also to seek His guidance and His help. And so when I heard that message on so what, that was what came ringing through loud and clear. Failure can also lead us to consider our ways. Think of the book of Haggai. He says this in verses 5 and through 7 in chapter 1. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat and ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe ye you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Here were some people who failed at everything they did. The Lord allowed that. What did He want them to understand? They weren't following Him. And so failure, listen, we're going to have it in life. But they ought to do something for us. And one of the things is to what? Bring us to that spot where we ought to consider our ways. But more than anything else, failure ought to put us into the kind of mode, rather than dropping out, we get more determined. Rather than being afraid to try again, which is where we get at and where I'm trying to get us to understand in this whole lesson, it ought to cause us even greater determination. Listen to what Paul said to the Philippians. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How did he come to learn that? He had been in both positions. He'd been in success, he'd been in failure. But when Paul failed, it made him more determined than ever before. Some of you have heard this story before. There was a woman that lived in Wenatchee, Washington. Her name was Jean Wake. She was a very talented woman. She ran a back in the 60s and 70s, a daycare that was really groundbreaking as far as what they did. She actually had preschool in her daycare. There was nobody doing preschool in those days, but she was. And she was running a very successful daycare. She was, quite frankly, fairly wealthy as a result of it. Had a big building for it, had a number of employees. And she had moved over to Seattle for a period of time, set up another one over in Seattle. And that's when we met her. And she began to come to our church. Even I think it was she that played the piano for us for a time. I think we sang everything to the tune of the Old Rugged Cross, but she played the piano. But just an unusual lady. And here, she had moved back to Seattle, or back to Wenatchee, and my last year that we were there. And so I believe I have the time frame right. We were moving from Seattle to come back here to start the church. And we had the service on Sunday morning. It was our last service there in the church. We drove over the mountain to Wenatchee, which is about a 2-3 hour drive. And by the way, a beautiful Apple Valley down through there. You've maybe heard of the Wenatchee area. I mean, orchards everywhere for miles and miles and miles up and down the Columbia River Valley there. And so she had invited us to have dinner with her. I can remember that dinner. It was the most awful thing in my entire life. She brought us salmon, which was a delicacy to all these people, but out there they liked to eat it about half raw. I mean, it was cooked, but it wasn't. Well, whatever. And I remember eating my piece, gagging the thing down, and she says, "You want some more?" And I said, "No, I'm not hungry." One of the first lies of my life. I was starving to death. But all I could think of was the Burger King down the road. It was not that. And so we're talking, and Mrs. Wake says to me, she says, "Gene, if you don't develop some confidence, you're not going to make it." You ever been shot down? I mean, it'd make you want to take that U-Haul truck, go back to Seattle, buy my house back, put the furniture back in, and stay put. But we left and we came. And I remember so many times in those early years, I was so discouraged and just want to quit. And I'd hear those words. And I'd think to myself, "Gene Wake, I'm not quitting." Never had the chance to thank her. She's one of the reasons I stayed in Council Bluffs. She never knew it. I hated what she told me. By the way, she told me the truth. By the way, what I learned was I didn't need confidence in me. I needed confidence in God. God confidence is a whole lot better than self-confidence. Amen? But she did something. But it did something to me, made me determined. I wasn't going to allow her words to defeat me. Have you ever been there? That is one thing. So listen, we're going to fail in life. We're going to do things wrong. You're going to try something for God and you might fall flat on your face. But allow it to make you more determined next time. Like Peter, who feasted all night long, didn't catch anything. And yet he went back again at the direction of the Lord. And this time it was successful. And that's where we got to be at. Amen? Yeah. So a bunch of you raised your hands a while ago because you're afraid to fail. I deal with that too. It's hard to take this. But the problem is not those folks, it's our pride. And we've got to throw that aside and let God use us the way He wants to use us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You. Oh God, that we might learn from this tremendous example in the Apostle Peter. Lord, we read his life, we know he failed so many times, and yet he came back. Like the righteous man of Proverbs, that falls 7 times, he got up again. And Lord, You used him mightily. And God, You want to use each one in this room. Lord, sometimes we're afraid to talk to people because we're afraid of what they might think. We fear this, we fear that, and the other thing. But oh God, I pray that You give us that determination to go forward nonetheless. Sometimes we're afraid to speak to family members, afraid of what they'll think, what they'll say. But God, help us to be more determined than ever before. Lord, bless in every heart. Strengthen your folks. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.